great gathering of monks and the great assembly of bodhisattvas. At that time, the Blessed One was absorbed in the samadhi of the many aspects of phenomena called a profound appearance. At the same time, Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, looking at the practice of the profound perfection of wisdom, saw the five skandhas in their natural emptiness. And through the power of the Buddha, Venerable Shariputra said to the Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, how should a son of a lineage trained who wishes to follow the practice of the profound perfection of wisdom? Thus he spoke, and the Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, answered the Venerable Sharadvatiputra with these words. Shariputra, those men and women of a lineage who wish to follow the practice of the profound perfection of wisdom should look at it like this. The five skandhas should be seen purely in their natural emptiness. Form is empty. Emptiness is form. Emptiness is not other than form. Form also is not other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, recognition, compositional factors, and consciousness are empty. Shariputra, like this, all phenomena are emptiness, and having no characteristics, they are unborn and unceasing. They are not impure or pure. They neither decrease nor increase. Therefore, Shariputra, in emptiness there is no form, no feeling, no recognition, no compositional factors, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no appearance, no sound, no smell, no taste, no sensation, no phenomena. There is no quality of sight and so on until no quality of mind and no quality of mental consciousness. There is no ignorance and no exhaustion of ignorance, and so on up to no old age and death and no exhaustion of old age and death. In the same way, there is no suffering, no origin, no ending, and no path. No wisdom, no attainment, and no non-attainment. Therefore, Shariputra, since there is no attainment, bodhisattvas rely on and abide by means of the profound perfection of wisdom. And since their minds have no obscurations, they have no fear. Transcending falsity, they attain nirvana. All the Buddhas who dwell in the three times have relied upon the perfection of wisdom and have become true and complete Buddhas of unsurpassable, perfect, and complete enlightenment. Therefore, the mantra of the profound perfection of wisdom, the mantra of insight, the unsurpassed mantra, the unequaled mantra, the mantra which calms all suffering should be known as truth, for it is not deceptive. The mantra of the perfection of wisdom is proclaimed. Teyata om gate gate paragate arasam gate bodhi soha. Shariputra, this is how a bodhisattva mahasattva should train in the profound perfection of wisdom. Then the Blessed One arose from that samadhi and said to the bodhisattva mahasattva, Noble Avalokiteshvara, that he had spoken well. Well done, O son of a lineage, it is so. O son of a lineage, since it is just so, the profound perfection of wisdom should be practiced just as you have taught, and the Tathagatas will also rejoice. When the Blessed One had said this, the Venerable Sharivatiputra, the Noble Avalokiteshvara, Bodhisattva Mahasattva, and the entire gathering, as well as worldly beings, gods, humans, asuras, and gandharvas, rejoiced and praised the words of the Blessed One.
Amen. We spoke about those six perfections, and so the six perfections are the stages, again it is stages to the path to enlightenment, and to gain the state of enlightenment we need to go through the path, which is stage by stage in a systematic order. It is not that we can't really, you know, engage in certain practices and gain achievement of enlightenment will not take place randomly. So there is a stages to the path, and then again, speaking about achievement of enlightenment is not someone who is actually, you know, transiting from one place to another. This is not the idea of gaining the state of enlightenment. So here what we meant by gaining the state of enlightenment is to really, we are really talking about purification of our mind. And it is through the pacifying or eliminating all those negative thoughts and emotions, or in other words, the delusions or the kalisha. And it is through the pacification of all those delusions with their imprints, one will then be able to gain the state of enlightenment.
다 헤네싱에 데 간다레지나 다 벨로데 나조기 센데 다한 답주네 센데 벨 유지 벨 템부 기데 파네 데 로던 다 베데 파 군데 텐데 네 투킨데 데 헤네싱에 데 도무리 헤네데 다 가징 안주 모베 게자 제저 어디 제네 헤네싱에 소소 센데 로르 파 헤와지 차보드 너데 모베 헤와시 파네 투게 헤네스리 ねてやんぱんがじょくろでたんだちゆちでばてんでんでやじゅまじゅぱじゅつるたんだちたとろてへねせんげでとむのろでぱろとんだわいのてんばてんねとげでへねせぐれたでねへねてたんあねてひぐるはとむずでとねとべひろでたがんじょくじじっぺせんじぐのもかんがでぱのもかがげてかれきじぐりでとまんまりぱせぐで そうらんらんのとばんぜんびろせんてらとまんまりばそうてげたはんたじぱとがんでねらとんとげてくんかくりくかんらてげでねくそそらんわらつとぱきげんとむぐぱてなじんぜんぜんびろいんさてねくんじゃわなげそそきにげんらもてばてなちんだまだちんねげんしょろだんげちょろかんがてねんじゅんぐろおてろてろぱねぷてんけんてら
So here, then, when speaking about gaining the state of enlightenment through elimination of all those delusions and mental afflictions, and for that, you know, the wisdom realizing emptiness is a crucial, because it is only through cultivation of wisdom realizing emptiness one will be able to cut the root of delusions, which is ignorance. So then here, to be able to gain the perfect realization of emptiness, one must first achieve what we call shamatha, which literally means calm abiding. So it is... what is meant by here the calm abiding? And so calm abiding, again here, the practice of calm abiding is not something uncommon practice to the Buddhist Buddhism. In fact, this practice is shared by a lot of other different you know, religious traditions, such as Hinduism and Charvaka and so on. So what is unique to Buddhism is not only just to cultivate this, you know, calm abiding or the shamatha, but on that basis, which one gains the, you know, one cultivates what we call the wisdom that understands emptiness, understand the wisdom realizing, understands the ultimate nature of reality, which is then become a very unique practice of the of Buddhism. And so here it says first one need to cultivate shamatha, and without proper cultivation of shamatha, it is not impossible for one to actually have a intuitive realizations of emptiness. And so without understanding of having a intuitive understanding of emptiness, and then it is not possible for one to actually eliminate all the delusions or the mental afflictions. so if we are unable to then get rid of those mental afflictions, then let alone the complete state of enlightenment, will not even be able to achieve the wisdom, you know, liberations. So, because this the root cause of all those negative thoughts and emotions are is the ignorance here, particularly referring to the self-grasping mind. Because when we speak about negative thoughts and emotions such as aggression or hatred, anger, jealousy, and so on and so forth, if we were to trace why we really cultivate, why we really generate those kind of negative thoughts and emotions, and if we were to trace back and the root cause of all those negative thoughts and emotions will really, it is really rooted in the self-grasping mind. It is through the self-cherishing mind, because of the self-cherishing mind, then other negative thoughts and emotions such as anger, hatred, jealousy arises. So therefore, in order to tackle this root cause of all those negative thoughts and emotions, and we need to have a proper understanding in the beginning, have an understanding of emptiness through mediations. In other words, the conceptual understanding of emptiness. It is through this prolonged meditation on the conceptual understanding of emptiness will then eventually lead oneself to have an intuitive understanding of emptiness. So as we talked earlier about this, to reach this state of complete state of enlightenment, the reaching complete state of enlightenment has a systematic order, there are stages. The stages that one need to, step, one need to embark and on the path, and paths are all in again systematic order. It is not a random. And then through embarking on the systematic path, one will then gain the state of enlightenment. So here, when we talk about the systematic order, you're talking about the elimination of all those negative thoughts and emotions. In other words, afflictions, the gross level of afflictions, and the subtle level of afflictions. And as you progress your path, your spiritual path, then your spiritual path will become more powerful. And this not only become an antidote towards the gross level of negative thoughts and emotions, but also then this will become powerful enough to become an antidote towards the subtle level of delusions, and so then this is how one clears the obstacles to gain this state of enlightenment. So speaking about the obstacles or the delusions or the mental afflictions, there are two major obstacles to enlightenment. Well, the first is what we call the obstacles to liberation, and obstacles to obstacles to the omniscience. So there are two different kinds of obstacles. So then, once this, both those obstacles must be eradicated through the cultivation of wisdom realizing emptiness. And so here and again, there's this first obstacle, which is obstacle to liberations, is can be eradicated by means of wisdom realizing emptiness alone. But the second obstacle, which is the obstacle to omniscience, so it's not as it's just adequate to having a cultivate wisdom realizing emptiness, but rather one needs to cultivate bodhicitta. And bodhicitta and the other six perfections, the other perfections that we talked about, such as perfection of generosity, perfection of morality, and perfection of patience and effort and so on, all of those must become a cooperative condition, and it must become a favorable condition for gaining the state of enlightenment. Those practice of perfections, generosity, morality, and so on, must go hand in hand with the wisdom realizing emptiness. Will then become effective, the antidote, effective antidote towards the obstacle to omniscience. So, whether once one is able to apply an application, the antidote towards obstacle to omniscience is dependent upon whether or not one's understanding of ultimate nature of reality is conjoined with the bodhicitta. So without conjoining one's wisdom and emptiness with the bodhicitta, then one will not be able to eradicate the obstacle to omniscience.
Under any third and hero nigun de Chadilo Todala, that Janju sent the Yenso Pachin Tubu, and hero de la, not to need to be hero de Aji. That Yenso Pachin Tugun and Tazakan Sanding saying inside the Mandan Dupi Kaza dege, and then Sanji Yenso Pachin Tubu to the Guana Ya, Santin Tambug Haikan, Santin Tambun Nibagay.
So here. All those practices of the perfections, the five perfections, such as generosity to the concentrations, are said to be the method aspect. It belongs to the method aspect. And then the last perfection, the practice of perfection, which is wisdom, perfection of wisdom, belong to the wisdom aspect. And so here, in order to perfect the fifth perfection, which is the perfection of concentration, one need to train one's mind and culminate one's mind into the nature of what we call the first concentrative, the state of first concentrative the state of being. In other words, it is a the, you know, because with this the mind with the desire realms, the mind that belongs to the desire realms, without purifying the mind of the desire realms, one will not be able to cultivate this the shamatha. In order to cultivate the perfect shamatha, one needs to purify one's mind in the nature of what we call the first concentrative, in the first stage of concentrative meditation, meditations. So it is through this then one will able to, you know, cultivate a perfect shamatha or the you know, calm abiding, and then with this then one will able to meditate and place one's mind to the, you know, to the chosen object of meditations for as long as you want, you know, but there's no, you know, sense of exhaustions, or there's no you know, tiredness and so on. So you will have you can set your mind on the chosen object for as long as you want. This the path to state of enlightenment. The path to the state of enlightenment must be, as we talked about earlier, as a, you know, as a stages, you know, and so if you look at the text, that you will find the five paths or the five bhumis, and the path of accumulation, path of preparation, path of seeing, path of meditation, and path of normal learning. And it is through this progressive cultivation of this progressive path, one will then be able to gain the state of enlightenment. So all of these paths are actually becoming an antidote towards a particular delusions, or the antidote towards particular, you know, mental afflictions. So here, during when the individual in the stage of path of accumulation is on the path of preparations. And though those practitioners or the beings cultivated wisdom, realizing emptiness, but their wisdom, realizing emptiness is a conceptual, you know, conceptual understanding of wisdom, realizing emptiness. So therefore, it will not become a direct antidote towards delusions or direct antidote towards negative thoughts and emotions. And it is through our prolonged meditations upon the conceptual understanding of emptiness will then eventually, you know, culminate into the direct realization of emptiness. It is when one gains the direct realization, direct realization of emptiness, then one will cultivate what we call Thonglam, which is the path of seeing. And once you have cultivated the path of seeing, then you have become the Arya beings or the superior beings in a Pakpa in Tibetan term, which means superior than the ordinary beings, superior to the ordinary beings. And then this superiority is not really made based on the physical, you know, appearance or the size of the person and so on, but rather the superiority is made based upon his or her inner realizations of emptiness. So once you have gained this direct realization of emptiness, then then this wisdom that understands the emptiness directly will then become a direct antidote towards the delusions or the mental afflictions.
Anare tulo demba ngosu te bulo ta de su pa chi tu ge to je de pa chi ta tam ni yan ba chi tin zo ba chin du se de kan pa chi du ba dagi ke dan sang ji sa ji ta de na si ne de na le de ke ge re na ji bi pa chi na zo ne zo ba su se de de na ki jin sang ji ge na si ne to kan de re se na nan da nan zo ha de ni de ke ge jin bi pa chi na jin bi to bi to se te sang ji pa bi ji je yan ba de tu se de tam Then Nagi Yadia to the Nazi Lens at the Nagi Sari. Then those Jena Najim Takangan came to the Yena Jambaton, the Jimpatin, and those Jena Len. And Tessin, and she did Tuning also to Tunas and the Tunes and got Dambang also to Tambu to the Tunas. And the more she Tuning Tunaya hardly take his out there, little one. Tunas demo. And take it out to those Jit Tunan and Tunan their long art. Soon in the teacher, and then he can ya tamopin of gulans and a tunnet. Lodia titunit to look their siege, John and the Senate gulans. And going at the Mugia tactic going in Chamber. And those kitunit to be hit out the London. Jenso Pachin to put the carriage in the island, two chicky 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 Gunan doji tapo tingen zeng seng na gunan dala ko gochen gunan doji tapo tingen zeng seng e dike na toki hiri nomo tamo tapo dolo ngene che tukur ku ngene tim gochi tamo doji tapo tingen zeng tuni ngoso tu bolo tim te ting tuni tu ngene dala ke ni ane ku ngene tuni ni bata chane ki sa na ma pa zong chane ane sa ji sen te ni gen sa ya ji sa ta dene ki sa ji ku yo sa ta le shtika te tindi sunda jiri
So all of this practice of generosity, morality, and so on are actually become antidotes towards delusions, because it is through the practice of perfections one is able to eliminate what we call the negative thoughts and emotions of what we call miserliness, and then practice of morality will refrain oneself from engaging in negative deeds. and so on. So all of those practices are actually becoming its own, you know, functions of getting rid of the negative thoughts and emotions. However, those practices will not really become a direct antidote towards what we call the ignorance, which is the root cause of our, you know, root cause of cyclic existence. And so it is, you know, through those, you know, progressive practice, as we spoke about earlier, one will then be able to gain the state of what we call the path of seeing. One will reach the state of path of seeing. Once you have reached the path of seeing, able to gain the state of path of seeing, then from that onwards, then one is actually actively, engaging in the practice of elimination of delusions or the root cause of negative thoughts and emotions such as ignorance. And it is through this practice one will then, this path of seeing will then eventually culminate into the path of meditations. And then once, through the practice on the path of meditations, the prolonged practice of path of meditation will then finally will culminate, this path of meditation will be then culminate into the what we call path of meditation of Vajra-like concentrations. And then this Vajra-like concentrations will then become a very forceful antidote, not only this has a, you know, power to overcome those delusions, but all the imprints will be eradicated by means of cultivation of this Vajra-like meditative concentrations. And then it is just next moment of generation of this Vajra-like concentrations will then culminate oneself into the state of enlightenment. So this is a very rough explanation of, you know, or the very abbreviate in explanation of how the path of accumulations lead to path of preparations, then path of seeing, then path of meditations, and then path of normal learnings.
Oh, tenar. And then I saw this at the time. No matter what, but Nando Chinning is that to do so long to make you insane. Take a cool job at the money. And the answer is that you can't do the Chitima Chimula, Nason and do Chinum Sanji twins. And the Konotaga and you think John the Genoko and the Sanji Martins. And Matthew Dodger Temba Sanji said you and the good John Tiba Pinum. And the children change to Sanji, and the religion you quite chance, and Dodger Temani Tamba Chiba teaching race in natural.
So all of those great beings, the enlightened beings, such as Buddha Shakyamuni and so on, have gained the state of enlightenment through this practice of this progressive path, the spiritual path. So Buddha Shakyamuni was not the enlightened being. He was not enlightened person primarily. So he was like us. You know, we are all, you know, once, you know, we are all same sentient beings. Buddha Shakyamuni was a same sentient being, ordinary beings like ourselves, and who is actually controlled by the negative thoughts and emotions, in other words, delusions and the karma and so on. It is through his realizations, his spiritual realizations, will then distinguish him from the ordinary beings, becoming a state of enlightenment. So if we still remain, you know, unaware of, you know, eradicating those negative thoughts and emotions or delusions, and There are still countless eons that we will undergo this kind of sufferings and taking rebirth within this cyclic existence, unable to free oneself from this, you know, the boundary of unenlightened existence.
Oh, then, and that's the thing. Then, because you saw a GD, the second thing to come, not a boy, the one who was so much, you tend to Sanji, and Sanji said you can't read it. And the Kuno Dijalo, my cheat and la, Sijin, the rig tendulo, two by the rig between the penny weary. Sijin, Tran, Sanji Taman, Siji Taman, but not painting, two by the twin, teach it alone. And it's my choose only a curl, chukari, tipachim, chicken, chukari, and a country in a curl pen token, don't do the china, so she knows to man so the Nasson. And then I entered the Kuya Sanji in the Sijin, Tangi, Penkuchim, which you injury, Sanji.
So the main purpose of gaining the state of enlightenment, it is to benefit other sentient beings. This is through this cultivation of this altruistic intention or the bodhicitta, one becomes what we call the Mahayana practitioners. And it is this altruistic intention will enable one to gain the state of enlightenment, just like Buddha Shakyamuni. So Buddha Shakyamuni, his purpose of enlightenment, gaining the state of enlightenment, is not just to, you know, to free himself from the suffering nature of cyclic existence, but all other sentient beings, to free all other sentient beings from the suffering nature of cyclic existence. Buddha Shakyamuni then undertook all those practices of all those the practices that we talked about earlier about this path of accumulation, path of preparation, and so on and so forth. We then gain the state of enlightenment. So it is through the gaining of state of enlightenment, one will then be able to repay the kindness of all mother sentient beings. Though we may be able to gain, you know, repay their kindness, you know, the kindness of mother sentient beings, even when one is on the path to state of enlightenment, but the actual repaying the kindness will happen only when one gains the state of enlightenment. It is because when we talk about repaying the kindness of other sentient beings, mother sentient being is to free themselves, free all the sentient beings from the sufferings. That is the ultimate, repaying the kindness and repaying kindness of all other mother sentient beings. So in order to do that, and one must first, show them a path to overcome all those negative thoughts and emotions or the delusions, and showing them appropriately how to be on the path through one's own experience. And one must have a proper understanding of what kind of teachings and, you know, teachings or the practice that is suited for the individuals. And so therefore, when the Buddha teaches, when the Buddha gave the teachings, Buddha has given the teachings in many different ways, and many different philosophical viewpoint. It is not just Buddha's, you know, Buddha had given these teachings based on someone whom he liked and someone whom he disliked. It is based on his own, you know, understanding, his own, you know, understanding of how, what kind of teachings are more suited for the individuals and so on. So without gaining this enlightenment, we will not be able to have the ability to understand the mental inclinations or the spiritual, mental disposition and spiritual inclination of the individuals. So without then understanding the mental inclination and spiritual inclinations and the mental disposition of the individual, then one will not be able to give them appropriate teachings of the Dharma. So therefore, it is only gains once complete state of gaining the complete state of enlightenment will then enables one to actually repay the actual repaying the kindness of all mother sentient beings. So, for instance, according to the sutra, when the Buddha gave teachings at the vulture peak in Rajgir, and at the same time, Buddha has emanated in a different form and he has given the teachings in a different place. So this is how the enlightened beings can emanate their body in an innumerable, way to help sentient beings. So though Buddha has led countless sentient beings to the state of enlightenment through his teachings and through his emanation bodies and so on and so forth, so we have left behind and we haven't been able to participate in the teachings of the Buddha at that time is because of our negative karma. So we're unable to take a rebirth and to be able to become a direct disciples of the Buddha. So therefore, we have left. We're still struggling within this unenlightened existence.
Oh, then
So then here we as a practitioners, followers of the Buddha's footsteps, and the main here, practice for us is to develop our mind, to modify our mind on the day-to-day basis. Try your best to train your mind. And, regardless of how much teachings that you may have received and how much, the advices, the spiritual advices that you have received from your spiritual teacher and so on and so forth, if one's mind remained as it is, with no change, then there's no development. There's no, you will not be able to gain any kind of realizations. So here, as the practitioners, whenever we remember that we just try our best to modify our mind, in other words, to shape one's mind. This is the, core teachings of the Buddha, to developing one's mind, modifying one's mind on the day-to-day basis.
So tūla tā tūni sēng tā kīchī wīn sē gā tā tā kārī rā sā na nā ngā tā kuchī chū thumā mārī pā tā mē tī pā kāngā thumā mārī pā tā rī mārī pā tā kāntā sā na kū rā ngā ngā nī ngā tā jīn sā tā chā pā tā ngā tā tā chī pā chū sā sā tū ngā kārī jīn mā jī tī wā tā na mā yī rā ngā nī chū tū pā jīn zēn tūni sēng tā kī kūn jā nā kī māyī pā tō kī ngā tā tūni tū pā lō sī kī rī Kinjana came in, but don't any case and that can go to China Ungamari, there keeping Jay and then Germany, but Chiba, now he's on toy and weary. And that the need to be lot de gay, and that wrong in the Madu, but to be lot de gay, and wrong in the Tubandi Belotter at the gay old Nepote, and then I give up as you tell of Truji and Doge in the Andrea is at it.
So it is right from the beginning of one's practice, you know. Beginning of one's day in the morning, and make sure that you first, it's very important to shape our mind, our motivation. So if one is able to, you know, shape one's mind or motivations right from the beginning of one's day, then one will be able to maintain those virtuous state of mind throughout the day. So thus, the most important part is, you know, in the morning, one must not, you know, refrain one's, well, one must not make sure that your mind do not get distracted right from the beginning of one's day. And so then one tries to, once you have then cultivated appropriate motivations, one then, engage in the practice, one's own daily practice, whatever the practices one do. And so when one is doing this practice again here, you know, well, one must, you know, not think about that just because of this particular practice that I will gain something. So this will then, if you have this kind of motivation, if this kind of mentality within yourself, then it will become a very much like a goal-oriented. So this will then if one is unable to see any kind of change within yourself, then you will get frustrated, and then you will not be able to continue to onto your spiritual practice. So when you are engaging in the spiritual practice, the important here is to, regardless of what, how long it's going to take, you know, regardless of the time, whether it takes the eons and eons, I will do, and I will continue to my practice by, you know, modifying my mind and, you know, developing my mind and, you know, transforming my mind from negative to positive and so on. So this is very important, because sometimes when we engage in the practice and we kind of become a really goal-oriented, and then when we see no change and there's no any kind of spiritual realization that one have gained at the time, then one really, you know, becomes so frustrated, and then one, then this will then become also, will really discourage, you know, one's spiritual practice. So therefore, one must not really become a really goal-oriented. And so, so then, once you have, you know, once you are actually embarking upon one's practice, one will actually engaging in one's practice, and it is very important that from the beginning, you know, making sure that your practice is, you're actually engaging in the practice is based on taking refuge in three jewels. This is very important, because then if one's, you know, practices is again devoid of taking refuge in three jewels, and then it is through cultivating of more, you know, positive motivations, there might be a little benefit, but the benefit will be very limited. So therefore, making sure that your practice, you know, whatever the practices you do, you know, right from the beginning of your day, even saying a once, you know, word of mantra and so on, those are all based upon taking refuge in three jewels.
我等那里，我等我就等着哇！大姐，我本来装修现在不是工作人员嘛，马戏生意的，这都工作的，时间长就马戏点点点着。但俺这马戏啊，的嘛都时间长些，那个马戏不个个，等一个马戏点点点着，是那工作就，俺就叫了他妈名字的马戏的点点，等那进去。
So then once you have your practices based upon the technical efficient schedules, then making sure that your motivation is, you have, you know, again, this is then done on the basis of developing bodhicitta, in other words. So then whenever we engage in the practice, we normally start from the recitation of the refuge formula, which is I take refuge in schedules, and until I gain state of enlightenment, which is the refuge part, and then from by the merit of forgiving and so forth, may I gain the state of enlightenment for the benefit of all of the sentient beings. There's two lines referring to the development of bodhicitta. When you're engaging in those, when you're actually reciting those formula, and first making sure that you're taking proper refuge in rituals. And then next, when you you know, when you're reciting the second two, the next two verses, then making sure that you're actually, you know, you're trying your best to actually cultivate bodhicitta within oneself, and that too is try briefly to think about 7 points, you know, causes and effect of bodhicitta, the development of bodhicitta, and then equalizing and exchanging self with others. So those, you know, try to briefly, you know, in other words, you can scan through, you know, try to think about this briefly. And this is, then this will really, you know, help us to strengthen our practice.
等到这你当用的说说三的吧，要不说，那现在要不说是那被抓起目前么是做大概种种的，那个他们那啥国家的么是什么那个现在做，那第一点呢，那按照南巴金山的了，那我给杨浪说，那喇嘛来就是钱，上级来就是钱，去了就是钱，那得开始么不老有，就是交了个的，交了钱是得干的的，那俺个把，做那的钱呢，那俺说个东西，让他基本的话是时间长些，那可以多点的里怕他啊去，就罗巴几罗就是些，他啊去那几罗就是交些，等到等了，交些钱交些钱些的，哎呀，交了就是，本来按照，全他妈没得去，靠他们个人呐，那怕就没几个出，交出单呐，那可以全都他那个了，等那个就可以多点的里他啊去交了就是，得这个了。
So the practice of the Dharma is the transforming one's mind, or the transforming one's mind from negative to positive. This is all about Dharma practice. And so, right from the beginning of one's day in the morning, when we take refuge, I take refuge in Guru, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and think about all those. Great beings in the past who have gained either the state of enlightenment or the bodhisattva's path or the who are on the state of bodhisattva's bhumi or the bodhisattva's ground, and all of them have gained those spiritual realizations, those heightened states. It is because of their, you know, changing or the developing their mind or the training their mind. So therefore, you know, may I too, you know, follow their footsteps by changing my mind step by step, bit by bit, and bit by bit, and to gain the, you know, the state that are, you know, accomplished by the great beings and so on.
Tenari, ane ngaco nabi chi sengen den dugu le chiji yu siren tang ngaco kanga lika nabi chi ligu le lika chi line ya kejo nanda kare chi na ne pasu mele pen bi chi tanda bi chi mege tan de dulu lika chi te chi te san li ya ne chi mege matong san lika le masih ngaco te chi chi la chi chi ntesan lika kanga dipari ni ne kaki ya lika kiche kama kiche jege लिखान दो अन सुन के दंगा द लिए ने टू गा द तना माली पे जितना देन जी के लाचा सासो ने जत ते कुमार रे गे सरे ओ द सक दे तो जने चे गे सरे न तना जे ए लेगा ले ने मेल पे पेंशन द बजे जे छे के ने गेवा तन ने रे ने गेवा सिंग दे
सो इफ यू रियली नो हाउ टू प्रैक्टिस धर्मा एंड देन एवरी एक्शंस और डे टू डे एक्शंस बॉडीज speech and mind, even one's, circle of breathing and respirations can become a virtuous, you know, the actions. So, in other words, it is through this kind of practice, and there's actually no room for, you know, a arisal of any negative thoughts and emotions, because all of your body, speech and mind are completely in this virtuous state. And for instance, one's bodily actions, the virtuous state of one's bodily actions, virtuous state of one's speech, in other words, reciting the mantras and verses and so on. And then the most important is virtuous state of mind, which is cultivation of altruistic intention. And so, if one, it is best that if we are able to cultivate a motivation of benefiting all other sentient beings at all the time. But if that is not a possible, then one must always have a motivation that at least that I'll refrain from harming other beings. And this is what we call the virtuous state of minds. And then if one is the tantric practitioners, which Gisela has mentioned, then even one's breathing in and out can be a mantra. It can be a rhythm of not just, you know, clean respiration, it's kind of normal respiration, but your respiration will be able to visualize in the rhythm of mantras and so on. In which case, that there's no actually room, there's no opportunity for the delusion to come and delusion to take place. And so this is how we actually put every effort, and this is how we make ourselves, all our body, speech, and mind, into the virtuous state.
Dekhi chegiri yesi chegiri. Tendi ang dekhi chegiri sanji rang jinglo chegiri yesi. Ani chi sanji rangi chi rangi jinglo chegiri sanji rang dekhi chegiri yesi tepe chanam yungu yari. Tendi ang chi telo ngugo dapa chi ngugo yunam rila regu yari ngangzo sanji ki chu sun cha chu tesun na chi kaka ngandar na chi tere. Yegi di mina ngangzo tanda kaka. Shishengan lumban dandiyo maro, dandai jidaa kutin chimbori. Maathir digi, nda nama sunshaya jyajaa dolo, chanshuk sinya sanga, tuni tobi khiro sanga, dandala sunshaya yore. Tata maathir digi, tsi dambu digi jyajaa dito, dandai yore chadigi, tosa hiraga mimi chimbo yore. Pechari, tata maathir chapaya yina, kare yina, ka naji tsuchilu tonchi yore isi. Uti yinji mini sozai chigo yore sari.
So then visualizing, you know, Bob, so the Buddha's or the one's guru, such as His Holiness the Dalai Lama and so on. And if one has a picture, then one think about that's the Buddha's picture, the Buddha's image, or the one's guru's image, not just as a depiction, but rather it's think about us as a real person, the guru as a real person, or the Buddha as a real person, and right there and witnessing your practice and so on. And so then think about that wherever you go, and whatever, you know, the actions that one may undertake, I think that's the Buddha's or the Guru's, either in a crown of one's head or at one's heart. If one is a tantric practitioner, one could visualize at one's heart, and if not, then one can visualize Gurus and Buddha at one's crown of one's head. And if one is able to maintain this kind of practice, then whenever you are, you know, about to engage in negative actions, either body negative action through body or speech and so on, then this will really, you know, by this practice of visualizing guru on the one's crown and or one's heart, will really refrain from engaging in those negative actions. And so then think about all those, you know, the texts that you have, you know, some of you may have like Lambrim texts, or some of you may have, you know, any kind of texts that are written by the great beings, the great pandits and Buddhas and so on, sutras. And think about, you know, one must consider them as a jewel dharma, because all the contents within the Buddhist texts, particularly the Mahayana Buddhist texts, are we cannot find the Mahayana Buddhist texts without any contents of wisdom, realizing emptiness, and bodhicitta, which is the core practice of all the Buddhist practitioners. And so therefore, it is a worthwhile for us to actually consider those, you know, sutras and then, you know, the texts written by the great pandits and so on as a jewel dharma.
Then I want to do choosing in the calculation of tender than Chamanic Chamalo Pemaji related digital. And then I said, you want to that charm and double sing the Gadi Hagging Hawk with my name as a son of the Nudgy Hag to send up his own. And then by confusion of John Lucy in the farm. Going to church chosen Terry, indeed, to chosen Matan Kariki and Dangai. Running, tunnel, chudogur, any in a those are dendronin, that then you give illusion, but you sanji temper is a tenaji chain, and I charge who sanji possesses a self, but in the even tenaji chain.
So then it is again important to, you know, reflect one's mind upon the impermanent nature of things and events, and particularly of one's own life. And so, because this, one's death, the impermanent, referring to the one's life here, referring to the death, because the death is sudden, and arisal is uncertain. So think about the certainty of the death, and then reflect one's mind upon the uncertainty of the arisal, the time of the death. You know, you may be very healthy, sound, you know, today, but we can't really, you know, guarantee ourselves that we will be alive tomorrow morning, even after an hour. So it is a matter of breathing in and out. And if you breathe out, and if you breathe in, and if you're unable to breathe out, then that's it. And it is the ultimate journey that we're actually facing. So reflecting one's mind upon that, you know, if when I am alive right now with all these capacities that I must put forth, all my, you know, energy and efforts to engage in the practice, because if I'm without engaging in those practices, if the death arises tonight, and how tragic it will be. Not only just you're losing your this, you know, precious life, but also you are unable to, engage in any practices that you should have taken in the earlier. So this is, you know, very again, in the most of those texts that if you look at the stages of the Path to Enlightenment and the Lamrim and the perfection of the Guru's speech in the Nyingma Lamrim and so on, all those texts regarding different, you know, religious tradition or in the Tibetan Buddhism, such as Gelug and Nyingma Kagyu's, and all of those have the same emphasis on the reflection, importance of reflection upon the impermanent nature of one's life. This is again, it is a one, you know, very important fuel for actually engaging in practice of the Dharma. So the reflection upon the impermanent nature of one's life is you're actually preparing for your death, right? So you're actually accepting death very comfortably. So if one really neglects reflection upon the death, because there are many, in fact, most of the people, if we talk about one's death, then people will become unhappy with it, right? They don't even hear about that. They just want to ignore at that part, which actually creates more fear and, you know, anxiety within their mind without just neglecting. Because the death is sudden. It is better for us to prepare right from now. So the important point here is to not only just you are accepting death, but you are preparing for it. You know, how to really, you know, when this time arises, and how can one really embark on that particular path very comfortably. So this is the rehearsal. You know, we are just, you know, it's kind of a rehearsal for one's death. And if one really engages in those practices on one's day-to-day life, and then when those time arises, and you will have no fear. You will face those situations very comfortably in a very peaceful manner. So this is one of the result of Dharma practice. And so it says, when one engages in the practice of visualizing Guru on the crown of one's head or one's day-to-day life, and this practice will be very familiar with yourself. And when the death arises, and this practice will remain within us, and we will always remember this practice. And it is said that at the time of one's death, one is able to then visualize other Buddhas, Buddha Shakyamuni's image, or Buddhas, or the one's own guru at one's heart, or one's crown of one's head. And then it says, it is very certain that such individual will have a positive rebirth, at least a positive rebirth in his or her future, next life. So whenever, you know, we engage in the practice, the one thing that is very important to make sure is to one's practice is to always one's the purpose of one's practice is to actually to have a combat with one's, in other words, have a war or the battle with one's negative state of mind. This is our practice. This is the practice, you know, the essence of our practice. This is the meaning of our practice. This is the purpose of practice. So, because your practice, such as whenever we engage in the Dharma practice, one's practice will be either one's practice belongs to the wisdom aspect or the other that belongs to the method aspects. Whichever these two, both of these two practices are actually, becoming a fighter. In other words, the army of, that is actually preparing a war with one's negative state of mind. This is what we need to remember all the time. Kishla is saying if you would like to ask questions, so we'll deal with the questions and answer.
I do have a question, Kishla. Given the fact that we're talking about the stages that will allow us to achieve enlightenment in some lifetime, I'm curious about the life of Shakyamuni Buddha. And I'm aware that until he sat under the Bodhi tree, I don't know that much, but that he studied for, 4 years with Hindu ascetics. And I'm wondering about what he learned during that period of time and whether there was a causal effect from those years and those studies on his capacity to achieve enlightenment.
There is a moronga that Jodi, ta dagi nga ndan sa chik san gaya liya ni chik pe lam bangrim chin tukwaya chik ta tanda chik nga zu tong lam kaza cholam cholam tong lam gom lam liya duk sung parwas. Di lam ta chik rimba je chik ya doja ni chik san gaya chik sung parwas. Ta pena san gaya shakit tu cha jabi na ta chik san gaya ta nga zu yongda liya san gaya
Sangya le tingen da karjuna nas tenzo ki. Tatsu sangya ba tenjena pa chu mal thana san da bu chilen yong go ro wa.
So in this here, when we speak about the particular Buddha, the Buddha's life, the state of enlightenment, the gaining state of enlightenment for the Buddha, Buddha Shakyamuni particularly, and so there's two ways of explanation that we find. One is what is we call the Buddha has gained the state of enlightenment undertaking practice of, you know, the solitary, you know, meditation practice, concentration for 6 years under the Bodhi tree, and then gained the state of enlightenment. And this is what we call for the common appearance or the common, you know, explanation, or it is also called the interpretive explanation. Interpretive. So for the uncommon, disciples and so on, Buddha have gained this state of enlightenment way back, like, you know, who has gained the state of enlightenment and so on. So yes, you know, regarding as to the question of the practice of ascetic practice with the Hinduism and so on. Yes, of course, those practices have become a favorable condition for his understanding of ultimate nature of reality. Because in the practice of Hinduism, there are many, and there's very, you know, strong emphasis on the practice of single pointed concentrations, in other words, shamatha. And shamatha is again one of the core practice of the Hindu practitioners. And so it is this, you know, understanding of practice, such as, you know, gaining this shamatha and so on, suddenly this becomes a very favorable condition for the development of his own understanding of what is meant by ultimate nature of reality. So he was not really satisfied with those, you know, teachings and the practice. Is he was still looking for the truth. You know, though he has gained all the spiritual realizations under the guidance of the Hindu practitioners or the ascetic, you know, masters, but he was not really satisfied still in terms of finding the truth. And it is through his own development of the wisdom that enables him to have a correct realizations, or in other words, appropriate realizations of things and events. In other words, appropriate realization of ultimate nature of reality. So this, yes, of course, there are many things that he had learned from the ascetic masters, like the Hinduism, suddenly became a really favorable condition for his development of the path that leads himself to the state of enlightenment.
Okay, I have a question a bit about great treatise on the path to enlightenment. Is that different from the lamp to enlightenment, or is there two different books? And who is it? Atisha that wrote it?
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah, the lamp or path to enlightenment, and difference. You mean?
He wants to know if the
other
lamb room is different from Atisha.
Oh, okay, okay, I got it, okay. Okay. Is that right? Okay. Derecha, lamrim churwa. Changchu lamrim dan de dilo to go sur lamdren yel keba kar yo re sung.
Lamdren ji ja kar re.
Lamdren dan changchu lamrim le keba kar yo re sung.
Lamdren le sangji sang di sang langa den yi ro.
Lamdren changchu lamdren yo ba.
Changchu lamdren kar re.
Changchu lamdren dan de pa dan de lamrim zao ko changchu lamdren cha.
Ale ni ji ba re. Ti ji du che ba ro wa. Lamdren de zo ti ji pu ma du du den da do ma sung sha re ma. Jangchun lari chibu dhe 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 jab hati yin dhe, melba kuyi kito dhija kaki dhidi ji na dhindu goro, dhija kaki dhindu goro maro, pa jab hati yin dhe, cheri zhika dhe dhiro. Dhe dha chibari.
So, the path to enlightenment, you know, the stages to the path to enlightenment, or the lamrim, is actually composed by Lama Tsongkhapa, which is actually a commentary to the or lamp or path to enlightenment by the Aditya. So if you look at the text, actual text of the lamp or path to enlightenment, it is very little. You know, there are, I don't know about the books, but Kishla is talking about the pecha. We have maybe 7-8 pages. Yeah. That's all. And so this is, the lamrim is actually, you know, the commentary of the, you know, of the part, lamp or path to enlightenment by Aditya. So, in other words, the part in the, you know, lamp for part enlightenment become an actual root text. The lamrim is actually rooted in the part lamp for part enlightenment. Okay. Again, the chua mida was some time that the sumburwa. The dinzolia, the chick, chicksosolia, the chua mida was saying the mida was some time, mixing chua mida was some time, so somebody, and I'm just care, Kigger was. The dimigay tolia, any condes chua mida, condes tempuris, Mamda, that jingami or chick.
What did you know also now? And chasing and doing it in the Yunjiri is, and chair the pen, carry pins and give out chair. Chichigo, chair doing it, the Napa Napa to give out the Ungurwa. Teaching each other.
So it's again here, you know, just reflecting one's mind or just remembering the death alone is not adequate, right? In fact, if you just think about the death every day, it really is depressing. But rather, we need to think about how to really, you know, make this that purposeful and meaningful. That is the main question here, is to practicing Dharma, and maintaining one's mind in this virtuous state. And if you are actually engaging in the proper practice of the Dharma, then the reflection of this death, impermanent nature of one's life, will really become a driving force for, you know, furthering one's practice in Dharma.
I have a question on when you're reflecting on your future life and the suffering of the hell realms. Now, in order to gain a full effect of that, do you have to accept the hell realms as literal, or is it metaphorical? But if you accept it as metaphorical, are you going to achieve the same cause and effect as you would if you didn't accept it as
metaphorical? Ta diko tse chima tanda siyo de kol gyundoy ki namja siyo ngurwasi, gyundoy ki siyo ngurwasi. Daga nanshin ta ganzo, ta tse chima liya nga jik pe ngensong midwe, ta mulam jaya ta ganzo su chwe jaya re, nye wa liya milwe, ta su su chechi war was than that. That DJ energy near Dungelia Samistan. Any Dundrik Dungelia Samistan DJ on any chill chelia, that's just a Kumar Chagoras.
Oh, take
Kumar Chagoras. That near Dungel sometimes never said the never singing the Munevichribe, could you dimbish this?
Think I never do. Nyan back you could draw a sign joining by Zim. Nyan don't you? Think I never. As a Giva debajis of stone, that was in Nalala, Hindiroa. This angel is Zin Masunshatin.
So, speaking about the hell realms and the suffering of hell beings and so on, we're not, it is not just a metaphor. It really happens to us. We have gone through that experience countless times. We have taken rebirth within the hell realm for many, many times. And so again here, Geshe-la is speaking that when we speak about the hell realms, we shouldn't think about something that is very far away, you know, millions and millions of miles far away from us. It is within us. Hell is, you know, within us always. It is like when you have a dream and you create your own world, there's a dream state that you have your... You actually create that. Your dream will create your head, and you undergo tremendous amount of suffering within that. You know, in that particular dream, that the length of your whatever the dream that you had, and you have your own life there, and you will create your own, environment within this. Whether you experience happiness or you experience sufferings, and similarly, when we speak about the taking rebirth in hell realms, you know, right after one's death, some individuals will take a rebirth directly. When a very brief, existence in the brother realms, but you will just right away you will be falling into a hell realms. It was because of the intensity of one's negative karma and so on. So then you actually create your own environment right there, whatever the form that you may be, whatever the realm of hell that you may be in, within a, you know, cold hell realms or the hot hell realms and so on. And you will create your own environment. It's because of your karma. It is already there. It's right here. Yeah. Yeah, you just...
If you're a bad person, you'll create the environment.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is how it happens. So this, it's not something that is like a metaphor or we're just something that doesn't exist and we're just talking about something that is non-existence. It happens to us. We went through that kind of experience just now.
Wondering if it's not metaphorical, then it's going to have a bigger impact on your path. In order to the effects of it, in terms of you reaching, you know, the stage of the university, there's going to be more of a momentum created if you accept it as real.
Mm-hmm. No, good.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Another question. So I heard this book is called Ornament of Pure Knowledge. What is that?
Ornament of Pure Knowledge. Okay. Okay, I got it. Yeah, yes. Tande yange ko peje ji kosong sa.
Wow.
Ornament of tande la was tande te. Peje ngondo gen la gu mendo. Ah. Oh, kono tenju ngondo gen se ji tuwas. Ah. Tinde chi tuwas tina ya ta kar kar chi gu na chi se gu sa la ko.
Ale.
Kar re se gu sa tina. Peje ngondo gen se ji kono konyos.
Ore re ngondo ji.
Oh, tina ya kar kar yu be na sa ndo se gu sa la.
Jyoja
de. Jyoja de.
So
the ornament of clear realizations, it's also known as, it is by Maitreya. It is, Buddha Maitreya, and in which it's actually the contents of the actual contents of this ornamental clarification is all this perfection, six perfection in other words, the perfections. And it's elaborate. It is a root text, and then you will find the commentaries. There are volumes and volumes of the commentaries to that.
I have a question. Regarding his teaching on the Vajra concentration, which is the force for antidote to overcome your inner enemies or your afflictions or imprints, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, from the Sangha's teaching on the subtler levels of the added consciousnesses above the six consciousness versus mind consciousness, he went into the subtle explanatory of the storehouse consciousness and then the kaleshas and then the other, the immediate consciousness. But my question was, is that because these forceful powers of the Vajra concentration, which is able to eliminate these negative qualities, was based on Madhyamika's view, because Madhyamika's view then was able to eliminate, they didn't acknowledge the seventh and sixth and seventh, or no, the seventh and eighth consciousnesses, because they didn't need to exist because the imprints were gone. By the time that they had arrived at a conclusion, they were able to eliminate the two other consciousnesses above just the mind. And so, and my question is then, is that why these Vajra concentrations are so powerful, because they're able to eliminate the subtle understandings of the mind and how they are able to work towards this process of purifying and transforming and increasing our mental states? I guess that's the question.
I'm not sure whether I'm clear, but I'll try. Okay, sure. Yeah. Thank you. I'll try my best. Okay. But again, the Gela, Golam Dojita with things in Sumbrua. The Koran Golam Dojita with things in singing the Koran Sambalia, Yajik Parachil, Yajik Tobayo, Mendosum Chick, and go up there. The Golam Dojita with things in the part and the Kundalia Chagurua.
There's Tamatama
Kundal Chagurua.
It's all the
Logan Sambalia, Tati Paralia Chick Tobian, Sadam Bunibani. So dumbo gyaba tinde thomo gob cherwa
la
kolam doi tab tinge zin dil ne ab dagara di ranjul le san en ko pe dagara pe chi shire chi pe thamol ya ko nyeng ngoni che je en ko shire chamol ya ngoni che je ni ko kolam doi tab tinge zin shire thame ge ani chi nyeng bo cha je en ko ngoni che dagara le pa zo ji du yong go sare men do sam sam en de chen cha
de
de ina khande en be na sum do
en chi de ta nyen do ro Lancer, the way he did the thing in the last time, and then long when the Amanda Tangayamada.
So it is important to understand here when we speak about Kishle Singh, the Vajra like meditative concentration is achieved at the end of Bodhisattva's Bhumi, at the very end of Bodhisattva's Bhumi, which is the last stage, and within that next moment, you will be enlightened. So you have actually gone through all those. You know, Bhumis, the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and all those Bhumis, you have gone through that. And then finally, you will be in the Vajra concentrations, of meditation stage. And this is the final stage.
But there are such things as the 21 tantras, which are the Bhumis above the
So right now we are completely, you know, it's important again to make sure that, you know, different classes. We are talking based on sutra system, right? Yeah, and so again, if you go through that, then there will be a different, you know, explanation again. Yeah. We're not
How is it that the enhanced, more refined, or refined Vajra?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
So are you asking about concentration states above the sixth level concentration states?
No, when he was saying that there was a finality, he was saying there was a finality state that once you became enlightened, and from a tantric view, you could take that level and say that there, you could split that into other higher, either refiner and higher levels, or you could see it all saying as one. That's how I would interpret it. But I guess it's a good explanation, because it seems like that's why it's so powerful. That's why the shortcut or it's a dangerous path, but it's a path that actually, you know, it pushes you to become enlightened in time, but in a shorter amount of time in your life. As soon as you can, even in one lifetime, if possible. I appreciate that very much, because it's a good.
Okay. Sticks get out.
Should we say the dedication prayers? Page 23 and the bell offering at page 24 and the auspicious wishes on page 28.
Jesus, love me, good Savior,